your Bible. And if you ain't got one, we'll get you one. We got them laying all over this place. Here's two or three laying up here people don't claim. So we got some new ones we'll let you have. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. We're studying through the book of Revelation. And I have not been in a hurry. I have not done a lot of correlating with the other prophecy books. I've just tried to keep it simple, but at the same time where it was necessary. But tonight, if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 16. Now, we're only going to read two verses, verse 8 and 9. Now, we've already talked about those vials of the wrath of God there in Revelation 16. We've studied that first vial. And we talked about it being poured out and the sores being put on people that worship the beast. And that second vial, the angel poured it out and it became as the blood of a dead man and every living soul died in the sea. And then the third vial we talked about, the angel poured it on the rivers and the fountains and they become like blood also. And for payment for shedding the blood of the saints and the prophets, he said. And then he said, verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Boy, I tell you what, in verses 8 and 9, now the sun's affected. Now, we've seen a lot of things take place, but now God is going to disturb the natural order of things. Now, you know, we take a lot of things for granted, don't we? I mean, we just take for granted the sun's coming up tomorrow and everything's going to be fine and every day's going to be like the last day. Don't we take that for granted? We just assume that. But these folks are going to get up one day and the sun's going to be messed up. And God's going to rearrange the order, the natural order of things. And you talking about climate change and global warming? Yeah. This is the true climate change and global warming caused by the creator of the climate and the globe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right now, they talk about climate change and global warming, and it's the devil's lie. It's a lie in order to sidetrack us and get our mind off of God and get it on Mother Nature. Mother Nature. I can't stand it when they use that word, Mother Nature. Some of them even say Mother Earth. I saw a bumper sticker one day said something about my Mother Earth. I want to pull up beside that car and say, my mama's name's Ruth. Amen. I might be a ball of mud, but he breathed life into this ball of blood, mud. Amen. I might be made out of dirt, but I'm not dirt. Amen. And so there will be climate change. There will. I don't think there is now, honest. Boy, we'll get up one day and we'll say, ooh, the weather's messed up. It's 70 degrees today. But go back and check the records. It's done this so many times. It's cycles. It goes through cycles. God has an order. God sets it in its order, and it rises and falls. And God does that. He's done that ever since the flood. You remember He promised them. He said, "I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky." And this is a promise, so you can remember the covenant I made with you. I'm not going to destroy the earth with water anymore. Amen. And yet the scientists tell us the polar ice caps are melting and we're all going to flood. They said the water is rising 2 inches every billion years. I said, well, by the time it gets up here, we're going to be in heaven. I mean, that's a long time to wait, ain't it? 2 inches. Like that's an emergency. It rose 2 inches. But anyway, right now it's the devil's lie. there's no way. Now you listen to me. Mankind cannot affect the climate. You know, back during Western days, you've probably seen some of them old Westerns. I know you men have. And a town out west would have a drought, and they'd call a rainmaker. Y'all remember those movies? And he'd get him a cannon, and he'd pour some salt in it, and he'd pour some pepper in it, you know, and some vinegar and secret ingredients, you know. And he'd look up there, you know, and he'd hang around a couple of days raising money, you know. And then he'd shoot that cannon off, and it was supposed to seed the clouds, and it was supposed to rain. Well, back in the 70s, the federal government did the same thing. They sent airplanes up. Y'all remember that? Into the hurricanes and tried to seed them so they would stop. And it didn't work. It didn't work. Man cannot contain the climate or change the climate. But in here, the sun produces, listen to this, the sun produces life and health. You ever thought about that? Without the sun, all life on planet Earth would die without the sun. There's no photosynthesis. The plants need sunshine. We need sunshine. Did you know people that live in countries where they don't have much sun? Did you know now they've got these places like tanning booths where they can go and these fluorescent lights will shine on them to give them that vitamin D that the sun gives them? And did you know that in parts of Canada, the northern parts where people live, where the sun don't shine for months at a time, no higher than the horizon, those people have the greatest number of alcoholics and suicides than any other place in the world. We need the sun. Hey, when you're depressed, you can walk out in the sun and feel better. Just feel that sun shining on you. Amen? And so the sun, we need it. It produces health. It produces life and vegetables and trees and animals and even mankind. It keeps us going. Did you know that the sun is the most important factor in our solar system? What was that black preacher's name? Some white preachers preached it too, but a black preacher came up with this sermon. His name was James Jasper. He was a black Baptist preacher before the war between the states. He got saved, had a glorious testimony. You ought to read it. James Jasper, and he was almost illiterate. He couldn't hardly read, but he said God called him to preach. So he just started preaching, and then they had the Civil War, and then after the Civil War, during the Civil War, his master built him a church. That's how great a preacher he was. And the black folks, the owners would let the slaves come to that church. And he preached so good, white folks started coming. And they, instead of sitting in the balcony where the blacks usually sit and whiz growing up, the white folks sat in the balcony. It was their church, so they sat down in the bottom. And doctors and lawyers, he was a wonderful preacher, a great preacher. I mean, man, he could stir you. Look him up, James Jasper, wonderful black preacher. But he ruined it all because he preached a sermon on the sun do move. The sun do move, that's what he called his sermon. And he took some scriptures, and in his mind, he proved that the sun moves and the earth sits still. And it ruined his testimony. Now, not with the blacks, but it did with the whites and the doctors and the lawyers and all that. But the sun is the center of everything, not the earth. Do y'all understand that? Everything revolves around the sun. And, of course, that could represent the Son of God. Everything revolves around Him. All creation revolves around Him. But the sun is the center of our solar system, and everything revolves around that. And if you mess up the sun, you're going to mess up the whole solar system. Have you ever thought about that? Now, of course, there's no man or even group of men that could ever have the power to mess with the sun at all. There's nothing we could do. If you shot anything in it, it just burn up. And it's just a big old ball of fire. That's all it is. That never burns out. Have you ever thought about this? And I couldn't prove it. But hell's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And the sun is a lake of fire. You ever thought about that? But anyway, here's the sun. It's the center of the solar system. It produces life and health and all these things. And God Himself does something with the sun. Now, He's already made one-third darker. He's already made one-third also with the moon and the stars in a previous chapter that we read. But now, it says, look at it again in verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat. Did you see that? So God does something to the sun. And when he does, they're going to be scorched with a great heat. Now, what does that mean, preacher? I don't know. Another passage says it'll be seven times hotter. I don't know what that means. I just know it means what it says. That the sun's going to get so hot that people's going to be scorched by the sun. You ever been sunburned? Boy, I'll never forget one time we had a family vacation down at what's the name of that place we used? Garden City. And I hadn't been out in the sun in a long time. I got out with them grandkids playing in the sun, played all day. By the time the sun went down, I was sick as a dog. I mean, I was literally sick. I not only was I blistered so bad you couldn't stand it because I was out there in the water. And when you're in the water, you're cool, but that sun's still beating down on you, you know. And I'm playing with those grandkids, you know, and we got a little boat out there and a little float and just having a good time. But, hey, I got so sick, I didn't want to go back outside. I mean, that sun, it can scorch you, buddy. It can scorch you. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Florida, but in the summertime, in the shade, it's hot. But if you step out in the sun down there, that it's blistering hot. I don't even like to get out in the shade in Florida. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It feels like somebody turned a heat lamp on you, just like that. Out of the shade into the sun. The sun's a powerful thing. But he's going to make it more powerful to where men will be blistered. They're going to be scorched by the sun. Everybody. You see that? Did you see what the last part of that verse says? Look at it. He says, and they repented not. Now, even though only God can control the elements and God controls the sun, and you'd have to be a fool to say that's not true, so they knew God did it. And they didn't blame it on global warming. They blamed it on God. They knew God did it, and they did not repent. They did not give him glory. As a matter of fact, verse 9 says they blasphemed his name for what he did. They cussed God. They shook their fist. I can see them now shaking their fist at God and cursing him and blaspheming him for being blistered by that sun that he's made hotter than it's ever been in the history of man. And instead of asking God for mercy, and instead of asking God for healing, instead of asking God for grace, they shake their fist and they blaspheme God for what he's doing instead of saying God's doing this because we're sinning. God's doing this because we're following the Antichrist. God's doing this because we took the mark of the beast. God's doing this because we're not pleasing him. Instead, they shake their fists and they blaspheme him and they repent not. Now, you know what repentance is. It's a change of mind. Repentance is not a change of action. Repentance is a change of mind that produces a change of action. Somebody was arguing over repentance with me the other day. They said, "Well, you got to repent first and get saved." I said, "Well, I know what the Bible says. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, 'I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.'" And it was so important. He said again in verse 5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish." I said, "Repentance is important, but repentance is not what you think it is. It's not quitting drinking liquor or doing dope. Repentance is changing your mind about drinking liquor and doing dope and turning to the Savior for your satisfaction and to be saved." That's repentance. A lot of drunks, ex-drunks running around here ain't Christians. A lot of ex-drug addicts running around here is not Christians. They didn't have biblical repentance. Amen. They have a program. Now, you and I, we have biblical repentance. We saw ourselves as a sinner. We saw ourselves judged by a holy God. We saw ourselves going to a devil's hell, and rightly so. And we turned from all that we believed and all that we were, and we turned to the Savior, and we said, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's repentance. You say, "No, that's faith in Christ." You can't separate them. You can't have faith in Christ without repentance. And when you repent and turn toward Christ, that's repentance and faith together right there. Now, these people ain't going to do that. They're going to shake their fist at God and they're going to curse God for the blisters that are paining them. Can you imagine the pain? Now, but you know what? God sent one great plague right after another, just like He did with Egypt. He sent one plague right after another, one right after another, and they wouldn't repent. And He sent one, and they wouldn't repent. He sent the blood in the waters. They didn't repent. He sent the noise of sores, and they wouldn't repent. Now He's sending great heat, and 1/3 of all life on earth is dead, and they still do not repent. You ever heard anybody say this? Somebody get sick, get in a car wreck, or have a catastrophe, and they'll say, well, maybe now they'll look to the Lord. No, sir. No, sir. If the grace of God has not drawn them, the Bible says it's the love of God that draws us to repentance. Now, if the grace of God is not dealing with a person's heart and showing them His love and His mercy and drawing them by the Spirit of God, then tragedy is not going to do it. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people die and go to hell every day in terrible, tragic circumstances. But they didn't get saved just because there was a tragedy. Somebody will die. And we'll say, well, maybe his family will get saved now because he died. No, that's not going to make them get saved because he died. They're going to have to repent and turn to the Savior because He loves them and He's dealing with them in their heart and their mind and their soul. And if you only made a profession of faith because somebody died, you probably didn't get saved. It ain't going to last. If you only made a profession of faith because your wife or your husband was leaving you and that was a tragedy, you ain't going to last long. You didn't really get it. If you only made a profession of faith because your bank account went dry and all the creditors were after you and they're threatening to put you in jail, you didn't get saved. You didn't get saved. You wanted to be saved from the circumstance, not to be saved for salvation. Do you understand the difference? And these people right here, I'm sure they'd love to be saved from the blisters, but they don't want to be saved by the grace of God. They have no respect for God. They have no desire to please God. They curse God and they blaspheme God, and every plague drives them farther and farther away, and they get harder and harder. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Go back and look at Exodus. What did Pharaoh do? First couple of times he hardened his own heart. But then what does it say? And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And that's where these people are in tribulation. You see, they've rejected the Savior, and 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 the rejection has now turned to hate. You ever been witness to anybody that gets so mad at you, it looks like that they're mad at God and they're mad at Jesus Christ? That's not the first time they've heard it. They've been rejecting Him a long time. And they're of this crowd that has shaked their fist and cussed God and blasphemed God. See? And here they are in the last of the last days, the great tribulation period. 1/3 of the earth has already died from God's judgment. 1/3 of the earth has been destroyed, the vegetation, the water, because of God's judgment. And they still stand and shake their fists and blaspheme God and cuss God. You say, won't He kill them? Because He's a God that's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. You would think they'd fall down and repent. But no, they won't. Now, you know what? Well, to compare that to the day we live in, did you know in the Middle East, which was the first Christian area on planet Earth, the Middle East was Christian before any other. That's where the disciples went. That's where Jesus was born. That's where He preached. That's where they preached. And it spread through the whole Middle East. And they turned away from God over 1,000 years ago and started following Islam. You think about Europe, which was after the Middle East. Some of the disciples ended up, and the disciples' disciples ended up being missionaries to Europe, Italy and such. And they were Christian. Europe was Christian way before we were. And now look at them. They've fallen away. I read a report the other day by a British agency said only about 17% of Europeans claim to be Christian. Only 2% say they attend church regularly, which means one or two times a month. Great falling away. It's, hey, look at them. Look at our world, y'all. Look at it. Now, you know what? Whether you believe it or not, right now, sin abounds unashamedly worldwide. Sin, are you listening? Abounds. It don't hide anymore. It abounds, and it's unashamed worldwide. Some places, it's outward sin. Some places it's outward sin. Nakedness and adultery and fornication and homosexuality and all the sins that go with that. Look at some of the European countries. Look at Russia. It's full of that stuff. Look at those countries along the Black Sea and the Aegean Sea. It's full of that stuff. Italy's full of it. Spain's full of it. And outwardly, they sin outwardly. In England, they make fun of people like us now. They've turned churches into nightclubs. I saw one where they had a satanic church that was, it used to be a Baptist church. Now, the Baptists just quit going. They gave up, you know, and quit living for God and died off. So now the Satanists have bought the building, and now it's a Satanist church. And that's all over Europe, stuff like that's happening. They don't even know what the word sin means anymore. They have no shame. They have no shame. Look at the Europeans. They have no shame. Now, that's outward sin, part of the world. But you know, a large part of the world now has turned to inward sin. They don't sin outwardly, that you can see it. You know who I'm talking about? Muslim countries. I mean, you can't get more covered up than a Muslim woman. Ain't no lust going on there unless you lust after cotton. I mean, they just covered from head to toe. Even their hands, a lot of them cover their hands. If there's homosexuality, it's hid real well. Because they throw homosexuals off tops of buildings over there. They burn them. There ain't no witchcraft over there. They burn them. You can't even drink liquor. Don't sell beer or wine in a Muslim country. Don't have it. The men appear to be heads of the house. The women appear to be good wives. The children appear to be obedient children. I mean, if religion could save you, the Middle Eastern countries have it. But we know it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Because you see, their sin is on the inside. They say, we have the safest countries in the world. A woman can walk the streets at midnight and without fear, and men don't carry guns, and women don't, hey, they can go out anytime and all this stuff. And of course, they're lying in half of those places, but if they're telling the truth, well, that's wonderful. But you know what? That's all outward. Their sin is hate, envy, unbelief, self-righteousness. You know, those men think they're better than us. Those women think they're better than you, ladies. They do. Now, you go to that country, Qatar or Saudi Arabia or someplace like that, they're telling you the truth. You can go on the streets at night, nobody will bother you. The crime rate is so low because they punish sin severely. But they only punish outward sin. They don't punish inward sin. And Jesus said that's where it's at. He says in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so they're self-righteous sinners. They're in the Middle East. Now, I'm trying to give you a picture of the world. Europe is eat up, and Russia and that part of the Orient, and the Orientals too, are eat up with perversion and sin and sexual sin, and there's no taboos anymore. But you go to the Middle East, and it's eat up with self-righteousness and arrogance and hate and greed and envy and all those things. So the world really, there ain't much left that even cares about God. Then I thought about America. It's been invaded by the sin of not self-righteousness, but selfishness. So I tell you what's wrong in America. Homosexuality. No, it's selfishness. That's what produces homosexuality. They want to please themselves. They don't care what you think about it or God or anybody else thinks about it. That's selfishness, self-centeredness. I know what's wrong in America. It's alcohol. No. It's selfishness. It's self-centeredness, which is pleased by alcohol. Y'all see where I'm getting? In our country, the majority of people, they don't want freedom. When they talk about freedom, here's what they want. They want freedom to sin, not freedom from sin. You see, when you got saved, you got freedom from sin. We don't have to do that anymore. But in America, most of the people who are unbelievers, most of the people in America, they want freedom to sin. And here's how I know. You can't tell me what to do. Y'all can't make laws like that. I'm free. Y'all can't tell us how to live. We're free. Y'all can't preach to us. We're free. Do y'all see what I'm saying? And then you put all three of those things together and you got a world that is in complete, almost, unbelief now. That's where we're at today. And do you see how that's headed up to this group of people that's going to follow a man that says, follow me, I'll set you free. The Antichrist. Do you see how all this is coming together that people, they will get so anti-righteousness and anti-Bible and anti-Jesus and anti-Christ that they will kill anybody that believes differently? Do you see how all this stuff is lining up to where all these people who are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-righteousness, these people are going to get so perverted and so depraved that they will even cuss God and blaspheme God. Now, there's a few around now. Every once in a while, we'll hear one. But in this time, the world's going to be full of them. And the crowd's getting bigger every day. And a man comes along and says, I want to be president. I want to stop abortion in foreign countries. We're not funding that anymore. And they carry signs and spit on him and burn his picture and cuss him. And one comes along and says, well, I think we ought to get rid of Planned Parenthood in America. It funds more than anybody else. And they burn his effigy and they burn his picture and they cuss him and they call anybody that wants that a self-righteous hypocrite. That's the America we're in. And you say, I love you, but homosexuality is sin. They say, you don't love me, you hate you. You hate me, so I hate you, and I hate your God that you say taught you that. Y'all see what I'm talking about? That's where we are. We've been invaded by sin of selfishness. Now, did you know in our country and in this world today, overall, God is denied? I mean, even a God is denied. In our country, it's mainly humanism. Now, humanism teaches you that you're your own God and you control your own destiny. So nobody else has a say-so in how you live or what you think or what you believe or what you practice because you are the final authority in your life. You are the highest place to go. You are your God. Do y'all see what humanism is? That's exactly. Our college professors, our colleges are full of professors teaching that stuff. And we wonder why we got a whole generation lost. America's full of humanism. God is denied. When was the last time? Very seldom do you see a politician come in front of a microphone and say, I want to thank God for something. We have lately only because we got that Yankee up there that'll say anything he believes. I like that. It took somebody like that. But usually you won't hear politicians or news people or even religious people talk about God publicly. He's denied most all the way around the world. It says they repented not. All right, turn over 1 John 5, and I'm just about through. And Brother Holroyd reminded me of these verses this afternoon. 1 John chapter 5, look at it with me if you will. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, look at it, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, here's where we are, folks. Right before the trumpet, here we are. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You notice that small s? That could mean movement. That could mean anything that calls itself a religion. Try those spirits, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, that was written in A.D. 90. This is 2017. How many more are there now? Hereby know you the Spirit of God. See the capital S? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now what does that mean? Oh, preacher, I believe Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died in the sinner's place, rose from the grave the third day, and now he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and he's coming back to get us one day. That's confessing Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already is it in the world. That's A.D. 90. This is A.D. 2017. How much more so? Amen? Come on, Bible study. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. You see that? We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, this is how we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What do they think about God? What do they think about Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, they're not bad people. You may not know what kind of people they are until tribulation comes. You are not going to know how a lot of people are. And we're going to be out of here, thank God. Amen? Because I don't want to be here when that crowd that has the spirit of Antichrist gets turned loose and gets to do anything they want to do, no holds barred. Amen? Look at it now. Look at the riots in the street now. You can't even walk to Walmart without being embarrassed. You can't go anywhere without being embarrassed now. And boy, people are evil and they're wicked and they curse and they blaspheme. And what's it going to be like when the Spirit of God is taken out? We got to go too, because he's in us. And when he's taken out, the Spirit of Antichrist has 100% control, how bad will it be then? It'll be unbelievably bad. God says, I'm about through with this. Angel, go out there with that vial. You pour that on the sun. Son, blister them. Scorch them, son, scorch them. That don't sound like the same little Jesus they praise on Christmas, does it? That sounds like a holy God pouring out holy judgment on an unholy race of people. Amen? It's coming. God still judges. God's not winking at this. God's not asleep. God's not dead. Now, His timetable's not our timetable, or me and you would have called Him down years ago. But when the time comes, He says that. When the fullness of time came, He came. When the fullness of time comes, He'll come back. And when He does, He's taking us out of here. And you say, good, people get saved. No, most of them won't. They'll end up raising their fists and blaspheming and cursing God for what He's doing to them. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to take it right. Don't leave out here and say I said something wrong. You know I love people. You know I'm kind to people. You know I try to win people. I don't know anybody on planet Earth that I would not try to win. You know I do. I don't care what color, shape, size, preference, or perversion they might be. The Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I do. And I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm always going to do that. And if they show up here, I'll love them while they're here. If they get saved, I'll rejoice with them. If they don't, I'll pray for them. But I got news for you. There's some people that will never be saved. They will never be saved. Now, you don't know who they are. Well, I think old so-and-so, he's a reprobate. You don't know that. You don't know their heart. You don't know their mind. Somebody probably said that about you. Be careful. We're to love everybody. We're to witness to everybody. We're to show the kindness and the love of God through Christ Jesus to everybody. We are. Amen? Come on, help me. And we're not let our personal preferences or prejudices get in the way. We're to love people just like they are, where they are. And we're supposed to try to win them to Christ. And it ain't our job to condemn them. It's our job to get them to heaven. They're already going to hell. They're already condemned. But there's some people who's not going to receive it. But we can stand before God with clean hands and say, Lord, their blood ain't on my hands. I tried. And I loved them like you told me. And I really tried. Now, don't let this stuff right here stop from witnessing people. This ought to encourage you to witness to people so they won't be living through this mess. I don't want anybody to go through that. I don't want the most perverted, wicked sinner on planet Earth to have to live through such as that and then turn right around and die and go to a devil's hell. Hey, God's not willing any should perish, and we shouldn't be either. We'll love people, witness to them, and then look, if they refuse it, they just refuse it. You say, well, how many times you got to do it? Jesus said, forgive them 7 times 70. He said, yes, 70. Keep on. Keep on, keep on. Because you see, you don't know which time that they'll open their mind, their heart, and their eyes, and the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to them. It took 3 years of witnessing to me. People coming to my house sitting on my couch. I mean, they was after me. I didn't even know some of these people. And God, the Holy Ghost, was sending people by and sending them by and sending them by. And then it got there every time I went to the grocery store. There's a gospel book sticking on a book rack up there somewhere. I'd buy it and read it. People would hand me stuff. I'd read it. I'm telling you, even though it looks bad what we're reading, you got to remember, that's the last generation on planet Earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. To set up His kingdom. Now, I don't know. Hey, look, the rapture may happen tomorrow. But it may not. That was 90 AD. That was written. 90 AD. That was 1900 something years ago. It may be the year 3017 before He comes. I don't know. But I know He's coming. And I know, listen, we are to go out and we are to sow the seed and we are to water the seed. And the Bible says God will give the increase. And I believe that the reason more people are not being saved like they were when I was younger and some of you were younger is because Christians, churches, the church itself has stopped sowing and planting and watering and looking for God to give the increase. They've just given up, and some of them have gotten so worldly themselves, they've been influenced by the spirit of Antichrist himself. Folks, this ought to stir us up to go. I hope he comes tomorrow. But if he does, I hope he catches me witnessing somebody. Amen. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Do you? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God that never changes.